audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Content. Listener discretion is advised. 3, 2, 1, go. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, the topic is masturbation, female masturbation. The male masturbation needs no work and no discussion.
Although you tend to make quite we pass time talking about it quite frequently, though.
That's true, because I'm a one-trick pony.
Yeah, that's true.
May is National Masturbation Month. Done and done for me. I didn't even know it. I've been beaten off like a madman for the first 2.5 weeks. Sadie Allison is our guest tonight. She is... Why don't you give people your credentials?
My credentials, that's a good question. First of all, I'll let you know that I'm not a porn star. Mm-hmm. I'm not a doctor. Mm-hmm. I am...
Leave. I've heard enough.
No, you want
we
me to stay because of
we only have porn stars
that.
Or doctors.
I am the girl next door mm-hmm. who's got 20 years experience in...
20 years experience masturbating.
Yes.
Geez, you don't look that old. You must have gotten started pretty young.
I did start young, which
right.
is very common, and
right.
I look younger than I am.
So, how old are you now, I have to ask?
Almost 32.
Yeah, you do look a little bit younger. But I thought you were going to say like 50 when you laid it out that way.
I think it's my Asian descent.
I was going to say, that's
you got
that's
something
that,
going. Yeah, what do you got?
I'm half Chinese, quarter mm-hmm. Polish, and a quarter Hungarian.
Mm-hmm. That's a mess.
And I'm Jewish.
Let me give you, never give my theory? Oh, boy. Now that's it. Run. Ever get my theory on the nationalities?
What is that?
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is going to sound offensive, but it's really not.
Oh, yeah, you offensive? I'm shocked.
Yeah,
no.
But it's not.
Go ahead.
Well, here's the deal. If you got some, if you're mixed up in your blood, like I'll give you an example. Here's the sexiest, the best looking people in the world. Big, tall blondes. All right? Yeah. No, they shine the brightest. They burn the fastest. You see what I mean?
But the quickest.
Quickest. Yeah, there's nothing better than a 19-year-old leggy blonde with blue eyes, right?
All right.
But they have their prime, and it goes from maybe 15 to 30, and it's gone. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Now,
yeah.
Whereas Asian woman, black woman, Hispanic woman may not ever hit that zenith. I mean, she may not be walking down the street and have a bunch of people turn their heads, but her prime lasts like 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mexican chick, you don't know if she's 15 or 55. See what I'm saying?
I agree.
You see the blonde chicks, when they start getting into their 40s and into their 50s, it's a train wreck. Right. So you got that thing. You may not have been the, and you're very attractive, by the way,
Thank you.
I'm saying you may not have been the belle of the ball at the high school prom.
I was actually a homecoming princess.
All right. Shut her mic off.
Don't ruin it. I'll never speak to you.
I could have found a hotter blonde chick, is what I'm saying. But don't worry.
Oh.
Don't worry. That chick's rubbing Retin-A all over her face right now, and you're still looking good.
All right.
That's my point. That's really? High school? How many people went to your high school?
A couple thousand.
Wow. That's pretty good. Right. You must have been popular.
I was. You know why? It's because I developed between 8th grade and 9th grade. We had the summer break. I started wearing makeup. I got my hair feathered.
Yeah.
I was doing a curling iron with the layers.
Sure.
I started wearing high heels and tight pants, grew some boobs.
Wow.
Showed up my freshman year, and everyone said, "Wow, Sadie, is that you? Oh, my God, look at you now."
Yeah.
That was popular.
Right, and back then, you just would dress like a prostitute.
I wore a lot of makeup, you know, the dark black. I looked like a
heroin addict.
Called me a chola back then.
Yeah, you wear a tube top and some stiletto heels and stuff. Not only did you look like a prostitute, you look like a female cop who's impersonating a prostitute. Because some of the prostitutes have trouble walking or they're missing a tooth or something. You look like undercover cop prostitute. That's everyone I went to junior high with looked that way. All right. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
First, about when I was 12, we moved up to Rohnert Park, Santa Rosa, which is about an hour north of San Francisco.
And getting to the diddling part of your life,
mm-hmm.
career. This is something that you've been doing for a while. And I was reading in your bio that you found yourself giving advice to your female friends as far as technique. And you finally just said, look, I'm going to write a book, right?
Kind of. You know, the way it happened was I was known as the little Dr. Ruth. I was very uninhibited. I used to talk about sex all the time. A lot of times it was for shock value. I'd be at a party and be just bring up subjects like that, and people would open up. And so I started giving advice to friends and guy friends and teach them how to do things, you know, verbally. And they'd come back and they'd tell me how it went and that they were able to give their girlfriends an orgasm and things like that. So I became the advice giver. And one day I said, you know, I've helped so many people learn different things. I should just take what I know, write it down in a little pamphlet, and give it away for fun. That'd be fun. So it was a little arts and crafts project.
Really? In high school or in college?
This was all throughout high school and college. And then after college, when I was working in corporate sales and still helping people as a hobby, that's when I started working on this pamphlet idea.
So you made the pamphlet later on. Not in high school and college.
Right.
You gave the advice in high school and college. Pamphlet came with corporate sales.
Correct.
And give us, like, I don't know, what are the five things that women ought to know or men ought to know about female masturbation? Father, give us, like, the five basic do's and five basic don'ts.
Number one for women is women need to know that it's okay to masturbate. I mean, there's been so many hang-ups all through the past, the taboos, all that stuff.
Well, no, wait a minute. Most women are not uncomfortable masturbating. They just, because when the guys, you are like, let me, as somebody's raising boys and girls, you are like desperately trying to get the boys to stop touching themselves. I mean, no matter how much you yell at them and get them to stop, it's like, hey, it's a funeral, guys, cut it out.
You got
to
cane them.
They will not stop. I mean, so you're not doing that to women at all.
Yeah,
in fact,
but
you encourage them. It's good.
Well, women have that built in.
Yeah, there's
that's
still
the
a lot
point.
Of hangups.
It's kind of built in. That's
it
the
is
point.
Built in.
The parents are like, well, go ahead. You
well,
know, the
but
boys
Drew,
are like,
don't get defensive because she's not saying that you have to go against common wisdom or the societal mores. She's just saying within yourself, let it go.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Open up to it. It's okay.
Right.
The thing for men, and I like to let all the guys out there know, no matter how old you are, that you are not inadequate if your lady masturbates. So many men out there have this fear that, hey, if my girl's doing that, then what is she going to need me for? Or if she tries a vibrator,
really?
That's going to replace me. Oh, yeah, you ought to have heard that.
Yeah, we've heard it, but you know what? It doesn't seem to be the majority, or even close to 30%.
I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I hear
you talk to a lot of idiots in the middle of the country. But I'll tell you this: there's more men who are trying to get their women to masturbate than there are men who are threatened by their women masturbating. Mm-hmm. But they're out there. I'm just saying, leave them alone. It ain't our listeners. It's not. I mean,
right.
There's a percentage of them. I can see when you start getting into the vibrator thing where some guys get a little nervous.
We actually do get that call. Women are desensitized by vibrators, and that's something they call about. But then we don't hear guys really actually being... Adam, you're kind of threatened by it a little bit sometimes.
Masturbation?
No, the vibrator taking over.
No, I'm not. I'd like a vibrator to go to work for me.
Okay, that's right. I turned it around. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon.
You messed it up. Yeah, I like a vibrator to take over my whole goddamn life.
Your career. I beg your pardon.
Drive my car into work tomorrow, show up, start working on these manologues for the man show. It could do PI.
Huge.
I got to do PI tomorrow night. The vibrator just sitting there on the chair. Meanwhile, I just sit home, hopped up on Ambien and Scotch, just watching Satellite. Watching Speed Vision. That's what I like, Drew.
Good times.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, okay, now what else are we missing?
Okay, another thing that I don't know if a lot of the young kids out there realize, but masturbation is actually foreplay.
It is.
And I encourage it between couples to have evenings together where you're not actually having intercourse, but maybe just touching each other and kissing and holding.
That's hard for guys. That's difficult for guys.
It is, but
women like that.
I know, and that is a great point. But men have to really be...
gay. There's no guys into that.
Yeah, but he has to understand. He has to really put some effort into being that way and realizing there's some payoff for that.
There's big payoff.
Yeah. What's the payoff, though?
She'll have an orgasm.
You get more. I mean, I have guys ask me all the time, how do I get more action? How do I get my girl to have sex with me more? It's like, well, buddy, slow down a little bit. Take more interest in her pleasure. Take your time. Give her more orgasms. Introduce her to new things and see what happens.
Right.
You put out for her, she'll start putting out for you.
Touching, cuddling. What's the other one? Kissing?
Yeah, sorry.
Massaging.
Well, massaging, you use that one as the way to get around to the side, right?
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so all that stuff. Why don't we just pull a few teeth while we're at it that night and cut it, inflict some wounds and just dump perfume into the open sores. Oh, that sounds like a horrible, horrible night to me. TV can be on, right?
Speaking of which, I'm still pissed off at you. I went out to dinner with your girlfriend last night.
Right.
And eight of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't show. You were a block away.
I know.
And you didn't support me on that one.
No, I thought you would have a good time.
I did have a good time.
I
bought them all dinner.
I know. At an expensive restaurant,
yes,
too.
Yes.
A
thank you would be nice.
I had plans that night. Well, I didn't eat anything.
I learned a lot. I got a little dad on you.
Okay, let's just keep moving forward. I'm sorry, Sadie. Go ahead.
No, that's okay.
All right, so one more tip, and then let's take some calls, and we'll get back and forth with the tips all night. But give us a good technical one. I'm tired of the spiritual crap about relaxing.
A good technical tip is the clitoris.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people are catching on these days that the clitoris is the main source for female pleasure.
Right.
It's not the penetration. It's not all the other stuff you do.
Right.
And I think the more people take an interest in understanding the components of the clitoris, and it's huge. Most people don't realize this, but it's actually close to 2 inches long, stemming inside your body. And this is actually a new finding over the, about 5 years ago.
Really?
They actually are finding that it's not just what you see on the surface. It actually has two clitoral legs that stem inward into your body.
Oh, makes sense. I mean, if it's going to be the sort of pleasure center of a woman, that it wouldn't just be stuck on the side like a piece of elbow macaroni on a Campbell's soup can. It's got to go up in there like a tooth, right?
Right. I've got in Tickle Your Fancy, my book.
Oh, yeah. Name of the book.
Tickle
right.
Your Fancy, A Woman's Guide to Sexual Self-Pleasure.
I've read it. I actually saw the movie. I did not.
See, on page 9 there's a full illustration.
Right. There's the clitoris, or as my grandmother would call it, clitoris. And, I don't see the part that goes, I don't see the root that goes up in there.
It's equivalent to, I mean, this is what goes inside the male.
All right, I'm not going to look at
this. Here it is, the cross-section of the female here, and it goes up in here.
All right, I'm not going to look at this. All right, here we go. Let's take some calls. I can't see drawings of the vagina. It makes me feel dirty. Taylor?
Yeah?
You're 20.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, at first, in our relationship with my girlfriend, it was kind of all spiced up and everything, but now we're 9 months into it, and it's just, I guess she doesn't see it as spiced up as it was.
Well, get more specific. What does she ask you?
Well, she uses the term being wowed.
She's not being wowed?
Yeah.
But does that mean bring her flowers and spend more time face to face?
Yeah.
All right,
go ahead.
Do that.
But she's saying, for instance, we were driving in the car and there's just a time where I just kissed her and it wowed her, but it wasn't just a normal kiss, but it's strange because it's just all of a sudden she says, oh, well, you finally wowed me. And I was like, okay, I guess.
All right. All right. Well, good luck. I don't care. Listen, look, you can have a relationship. I don't know why this always becomes the women becomes the Soviet judge and you become the jackass out there on the high beam,
right,
trying to impress them all the time. And look, you do your thing and they do their thing. It's bad. I think it's bad when you start running down that path of, oh, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, you're doing this.
But but how guys are, they're first on their best behavior.
Yeah, they get a little lazy, get a little sloppy.
And then they're not aware of what that even means when a woman's asking them for more attention. I make you have an orgasm. But no.
Well,
she means more attention, more time.
So, listen, if Taylor, if she wants something, attention, spontaneous kisses, or flowers.
Go ahead and do that.
And you want to keep her as a girlfriend, then feel free to wow her. Rachel?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes.
Pick up your receiver. Oh, that worked great. Rachel?
Yeah, I think she hung up.
God.
Retards. Ainsley?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yes, I am. Well, I called because of the topic of masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned to masturbate probably at the rare age of 12 as well. And I learned to do it in the hot tub with the Jets.
Yeah.
That's a common one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So what it translated into so that I could do this in private was using the shower head, and I've heard for discussions where you were confused as how that would be possible if you don't have a tub. Well, I don't, and there's a nifty little technique where you take the washcloth and put it over the spigot, or the shower head.
And let it come draining down from the shower head.
Exactly.
Hold on, I'm still a little bit confused.
So she ends up with a spigot. She takes the spray and turns it into a spigot.
She focuses the spray into one area?
No, just it makes it just drain like a...
that's what I'm saying. She focuses the spray into one area.
And it drains down.
And it comes down with... doesn't seem like a whole lot of velocity.
Pressure. Yeah, falling. The pressure.
I know, but then where's your vagina?
On bottoms up.
How do you keep the washcloth up there?
With your hand.
Yeah, see, Drew, you don't know what's going on.
Hmm.
Hold on a second.
Okay, just try it out.
I'm gonna try it tonight.
Yeah, you mean the bathtub faucet?
Because then
the shower faucet, the shower head.
How do you get the water to where it needs to be?
You manipulate your pelvis and your body to where the water falls.
Well, she lifts it off the thing and brings it down. Is that what it is?
No. It stays where it is.
Hold on a second. Listen, we have the world's dumbest scholars.
She doesn't understand what we're asking.
Many, many times. No, I asked the right question 10 minutes ago, which is how do you get your vagina? The shower head's, it's 6'4" off the floor of the tub. Yeah. Now, how do you get in a position to manipulate yourself? This could take all night, by the way. I'm gonna make a Dale's Junior run. You guys want anything? There's still gonna be going on when I come back. What do you want? You want like a Gatorade or something?
Gatorade,
like
some
Tiger Milk bar,
unshelled peanuts.
Sure. Yeah.
Unshelled peanuts.
Yeah.
Unshelled.
I want to make as much noise as possible and drive you insane.
Rachel.
Yeah.
All right. Who are we talking to about
Ainsley.
This? Yeah, I want to find out the answers. Ainsley.
Okay.
All right. So. You take the washcloth, you put it around the shower head.
Yes.
And the shower head, hold on, I think I figured this out. The shower head is mobile, right?
No, it's not. It's fixed.
It's up on the wall.
It is fixed.
And it's 6.5 feet up the wall. And now there's nothing but the tub where your feet are, right?
Right. And if you tilt your pelvis correctly and kind of just manipulate
so
where the water's falling... It lands right where it needs to.
They just lean backward?
Essentially, yeah.
Just say yes.
Holding on to the faucet.
And leaning some part forward.
No. Yeah. No.
She's standing.
I'm standing.
She's standing.
Yeah,
okay.
So you're leaning backwards, right?
Slightly.
All right, just go masturbate then. Look, just slightly. All right, hold on, goddamn it.
Do it. Who's going to do it? Hold on to this thing. This is a shower head right here.
Okay, I'm watching
Mike
now.
Mike is a shower head, so I'm just slightly leaning back.
No, you're going to have to, like, be a circus contortion.
I got my vagina's down here, right?
Yeah, it is.
Is she turned?
No.
You go like this. You go like this.
All right.
See?
Yeah.
And she's probably lifting her pelvic up and pushing upward.
You do it, and then you guide it down?
Yeah.
All right. I'm done.
Good times.
Yeah.
All right, baby. I guess that. Okay.
Magnificently.
All right. Why don't you just break down and get one of those handheld jobs?
I don't know. I'm a college student. I'm poor, and I'm ingenious, and it works.
All right.
You're 26. You're still in college. You can't be that ingenious.
I took time off. There's nothing wrong with that.
Time off for academic probation?
What about the bathtub faucet? Do you do that technique, too?
I don't have
a
bathtub.
Oh.
Okay, genius.
Listen, you can't be that big a genius.
It took you 45 minutes to explain your masturbation technique to us.
No, we're the ones that are dumb, see?
That's true.
All right.
That's true. All right.
Rachel.
Yeah.
What's up?
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, yesterday my boyfriend was diagnosed with molluscum contagiosum.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know much about it other than it's some sort of skin.
It's a little virus. It causes little zit-like things in the pubic area usually. Mm-hmm. It is contagious, but, you know, if you see those little guys pop up, they can just shell them off and that takes care of it.
Right.
There you go.
Well, you got to take someone. You got to get someone to shell those off.
Yeah.
You can use your finger.
I easily do.
Yeah, I know you would.
Easily.
You use your teeth. And
easily
your girlfriend, I'm
myself.
Sure,
no. She can do that herself.
I see.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he had to get the liquid nitrogen thing.
Yeah, you can do that too. But sometimes they're just shelling them out. Takes care of them.
Well, he's had them for a while.
How many does he have?
Like 4 months.
No, does he have dozens of them or just a couple?
Oh, he had a whole bunch right above the genital area.
All right, so that's why they were using liquid nitrogen.
I don't know. To me, that I would take pleasure in shelling that out.
But they might not control them that many.
I got to tell you, I am shocked. I learned from doing this show that people do almost no operating on themselves.
Yeah, it's shocking, isn't it? That personal surgery is not a movement are into.
Me and my friends have done this crap for years. I mean, you lance things, you scoop them out, you cut them off, you heat stuff up, you sterilize it, you drain them. I've done this my entire life. I can't believe that there's people going to the doctor. People get like a zit on their forehead, and they're going to the doctor. Like, they want them to drain it. They want them to spoon it out. I mean, there's a certain amount of pleasure in doing that yourself. I just can't believe people do that. I'm not wasting everyone's time with this, Drew. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
No.
I'm
part
shocked.
Of the problem is
I'm shocked by this.
Then I get people with skin lesions that are scratched off and excoriated. I'm supposed to make a diagnosis, and you can't tell what the hell's going on.
Well, listen, if they don't know how to operate on themselves, and what happens? They get trapped out in the wilderness, and something happens. That's right.
Abuse.
Sadie Allison is our guest tonight. She's got herself a book. It's called Tickle Your Fancy. It is May, and May, of course, is National Masturbation Month. So we're going to keep on this topic. And Sadie's going to explain to you ladies how to go about it, give you some technique tips, and we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Sadie Allison is our guest tonight. She's one hot tamale. She's attractive. And I think it's important to tell you that because it makes her advice much more palatable to the young male audience, and probably the females, too. So Sadie's very good-looking, so
but also
that's good.
Most of the ones that are offering information like this are right or crazy or...
Yeah. Yeah. Usually. Although we've had a few... what's the anal queen's name?
Oh, yeah.
Tristan.
Yeah, she doesn't seem too nutty.
No.
Well, listen, everybody's nutty. I'm sure Sadie's nutty, too, but... I mean,
all of us women can be nutty.
There's nutty I know about, and then nutty I don't care about. And it's usually very apparent how nutty a lot of the, even like playmates and porn stars and even actresses, mostly actresses that come in here, they're just flat nuts. Women who do things that involve attention being drawn on them usually are nutty.
Hmm.
It's just kind of a catch-22. You know, oftentimes the guys are, too. Oh, it's about 100% for women and about 80% for guys. Like, every comedian who comes in here, they just turn out to be a little nuts, right?
Comedians, of course.
I'm not that nutty,
right.
Though.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sound and
saying.
Stable.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
I can be, though, if you upset me.
There's no doubt about that. Tickle Your Fancy is the name of Sadie's book, and it's National Masturbation Month. And really, was there a decree at some point? Did you go ahead and get to start up the gavel at Wall Street and bang that thing or something or ring the bell? How does it go? Who decided it was National Masturbation Month?
A female-oriented company in San Francisco that started it.
Shocking.
Six,
San Francisco.
7 years ago. Yeah. Yeah,
I would have thought it would have been Iowa or possibly Kentucky. San Francisco. Drew, mm-hmm. Would you have guessed it could have been San Francisco that started up Masturbation Month?
Shocked.
They also have Felch Day over there.
Felch February.
And then there's Rocktober. No, wait, that's KLOS. That's another station.
Analogous.
That's right, Analogous. Bane?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Oh, I have a question about a biting fetish.
Uh-huh.
But first, I have a small favor to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys did a show about a month ago where Adam was in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you had a conversation with a stripper about veal.
About veal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a stripper about veal in Vegas, yes.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Well, it was because of that show. I caught, like, the first half of that show, and I became, like, a devoted listener since that show.
Thank you.
So you want us to be funny again?
It's been over a month since Adam's been funny.
I laughed for like at least a half hour.
I was shocked at the percentage of strippers who did not know what kind of animal veal came from.
If you remember, it wasn't just strippers. We ended up, I say, 90% of our callers was it veal? What was the other thing we wanted?
Veal and venison was
venison,
the other one they had trouble with. But I'm sorry, Bane. What were you saying about it?
Well, about 3 nights before that, I had the same conversation with the stripper that I'm dating.
Really?
I swear to God.
And you're in Oregon?
Yeah, I am in Oregon.
Yeah, apparently it's common conversation for strippers. And did your stripper girlfriend know what veal was?
No, she did not.
Isn't it amazing what people don't know? She thought it was lamb. Yeah. So there must be some underground stripper network where they exchange bad ideas and misinformation because this one thought it was lamb too. Let me just explain what Bain is saying. Hold on, let me belch here. Okay.
Oh,
pulled some garlic up there. All.
I'm glad you're over there.
I was
going to start farting soon.
Can I scoot back?
I was in a strip club in Vegas about 2 months ago, and I was talking to one of the strippers, and she was saying that she wasn't vegan and she wasn't vegetarian, but the only meat that she didn't eat was veal because she couldn't stand the idea of those little lambs locked up in that cage.
Right.
And I found that ironic, since as we found out, it's cows. It's baby cows.
Well, don't give it away. We'll start asking questions.
Okay. All right. So, Bain, what's your question?
Well, first, can I just share, like, a small tidbit of my conversation that
yes,
I had with
yes.
This girl? Well, she had a... she took her mom out for dinner and took her to, like, a river dance show, which... Mm-hmm. I was making fun of that, but
right.
After what she had for dinner, and she said veal, and I was like, oh man, can you stand eating those little baby cows? You know what they do to those? And she's like, baby cow, that's a lamb.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, you're kidding me. And I just kind of started laughing at her, and she couldn't understand why I was laughing.
Yeah, well,
I told
that
her,
happens.
You know, that it's not lamb, and she would not believe me. So we actually, at the bar that I took her to after this, we had to ask the waitress, you know, because it was a small argument that we were having. And the waitress...
got it wrong.
Of course.
The waitress said lamb, too?
No, she said it was calf.
Oh, okay.
Right.
True shot.
But this girl is so persistent, she still does not believe me. And right now, to tell you, I'm taping this show, so I can just, like...
Okay. All right.
Casually bust it out and.
All right, but Bain, let's casually bust out the goddamn question, please.
All right. This girl also has this biting fetish.
Mm-hmm.
I found out, I guess it was Cinco de Mayo, after a few shots of tequila, that she told me she wanted to bite. I was like, all right. And she bit my lip, and I had a bad response to it, and she. She said I was basically...
All right. Bain, first off, Bain's been on the line for 3.5 minutes, and Bain had to stop me 2.5 minutes ago when I said, let's get to the question, to repeat exactly what I said the stripper said to me, except
yes.
for it was his stripper girlfriend.
Yes.
No, wait, hold on. We went out to dinner, and she, went out to Riverdance. Well, that's another story.
I was already laughing at her about that.
Fun of that. But then... And then the waitress came by. All right, Bain, listen, I know you like the show and all that, but we got to get to other calls. The chick's a little nutty. Maybe she thought he was a piece of veal or lamb.
The biting is an extremely aggressive maneuver, and maybe we can give her something else to bite on. I mean, it's okay for her to express herself. That was not okay to hurt other people.
Okay, so listen, he's not going to marry her anyway. Just don't get her pregnant and tell her stop and cover yourself with those apple bitters, stuff they use to get dogs to quit chewing on themselves.
Christy?
Hi.
What's up?
Okay, I'm kind of submissive, and I'm wondering how I can get my man to bring, like, sex toys and whips and chains and stuff into the bedroom, and I don't know.
What's going on with your phone?
She can't talk for 2 seconds without the hostility breaking through. But it's nothing to do with it. The S&M, no problem with aggression with me.
Listen, let me say something to Brian and Tara over there. Please, 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 and I know Tara's listening. Please make sure that people got their phone lines straightened out. I have not, informally, it feels like about every second call, and that's light, is a horrible connection with either somebody on their speakerphone or someone rubbing on their phone or a bad cell phone. How is that? I mean, I've sat here nights where the first 3 calls we took, we had trouble understanding the person. Can't be. I don't care what their question is. If you're hearing a bunch of scratching and bad line or whatever, screw them. And tell them if they're fidgeting with their phone, they got to straighten it out before they get on the line. Thanks. Matt, you're 16.
Yeah. First of all, Adam, I want to say that if you were the controller of the world would be a better place.
Oh, utopia instead of utopia, which it is now.
Dr. Thank you. I was wondering, I take Prozac. I've been taking it since I was 7.
Wow.
And my mom says it's for my irritable bowel, but I think it might be for depression.
Okay.
I'm not sure. And last night, I got really wasted, and I threw up a ton.
With alcohol?
Yeah. And I wanted to know, does Prozac have any side effect with alcohol?
Are you taking the once weekly or the daily?
Yeah, the once a weekly.
Wow.
What's the once a weekly? How's that go?
You can take Prozac once a week.
And just in a time release form?
Yeah.
Huh. Has that any different? Or why not? Why doesn't everyone just do that?
You can.
But why not just everybody? Lily, taking a pill every day.
Lily wants you to do that because Prozac's going generic soon.
Oh, it is.
That's why it's released now, see?
No. Say it again. That's why
the drug company retains a patent for that. But
For the Prozac.
For the Prozac long-acting.
Ah,
but it doesn't for the
daily pills.
Right,
stuff.
So they'll release the long acting now and
try to get you onto that so you can use their brand.
It'll be more expensive, than the generic. But it's a good product, and if it helps you remember to take it, and it's a little smoother pharmacology, maybe. Obviously, heavy alcohol is going to work against, if it is indeed your depression you're taking for that matter, irritable bowel as well. So that's not good. Whether or not you can cause.
But is mom lying with the irritable bowel, or is that connected to his emotions, and therefore she's not lying?
I think it's probably the latter. I think
connected to the emotions.
She doesn't want to think about it as his depression.
Yeah, because
she's more lying to herself than
I see.
Yeah. But man, what I'm doing is thinking through whether or not I can recall any data that suggests you can get cardiac problems or sudden death or something from heavy alcohol and Prozac. Mm-hmm. Plenty of alcoholics drink on Prozac a lot. And I have yet to see any serious problems with that. Obviously, it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
And if you have momentum with alcohol, if you have alcoholism in your family, that needs to be looked at because that may be the...
No, there's no alcohol.
All right. Well, then easy does it here, okay?
All right.
You're going to hurt yourself.
All right there, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
And the booze and the irritable bowel probably isn't a great mixture either.
No.
High dose of Prozac, there's some seizure, I think, in high dose. And you could, I guess, but really not.
How does that irritable bowel manifest itself?
Matt?
Well, it's just... ever since I've been little, I've always had stomach aches, and
stomach aches.
I would miss weeks of school, and
really,
finally, I just went to the doctor, and I don't know if it's depression or not, but it helps a lot.
Okay.
Well, isn't it more anxiety that puts the kittens in your stomach?
Yeah, but what happens is there's certain stages of development when you can develop what's called somatic dissociation, where your connection with your visceral system and the emotional system and the higher functioning parts of your brain don't sync up right, and so your body starts expressing emotion through pain and diarrhea and all kinds of stuff. That's one of the ways it can happen.
Right.
And the classic description of irritable bowel is crampy abdominal pain with intermittent diarrhea and constipation back and forth.
Right, but it can be
any abdominal discomfort, bowel change that you can't ascribe a medical organic cause to.
So is it a lot of it psychological?
That figures into it.
All right. Hey, good times. Yeah, good times. Let's talk to Nikki, who's 20. Nikki?
Hi.
What's up?
How are you doing?
Good.
I've been listening to you guys since I was about 14.
Fantastic.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. I had a question on how I can be able to get an orgasm from having sex.
All right.
And, I've tried every position, and the only way I can get an orgasm is from having, oral sex.
Okay.
They've done to me.
Okay.
Or is this just the way she's going to be?
That's what's going to be.
I don't know. That's what we're asking Sadie.
Okay, now, when you say you've tried different things, different positions, have you tried the getting on top of your lover?
Yeah, I've tried, getting on top, sideways, doggy style, everything.
Okay, can you make yourself orgasm yourself?
Yeah.
With your own fingers.
Yeah.
So you're very familiar with your clitoris and how you like to be touched.
Right.
So when you're on top of your guy, which is a very common way women can achieve orgasm without direct clitoral stimulation, are you angling yourself to where maybe you're rubbing your clitoris against his pelvic area?
I've tried that, but it's got to be constant.
Some women are actually inhibited in terms of clitoral function when there's a penis inside.
Yeah.
It works against clitoral.
Yeah.
Adam particularly has this effect on women.
Yeah.
But it actually becomes
inside the room. I don't have to be
They actually
in
become
that.
Unable when there's something inside, no matter how direct the clitoral stimulation.
Because I've had a penis inside, and I've masturbated, like, touching myself, and I've been able to come.
Oh, you've been able to do it.
That was
there
my
you
next
go.
Question.
There it is.
Well, thanks for crapping on Drew's point, Nick.
No, if you can do that, then that's it. There it is.
Well, then what about this, Sadie and Drew? What about a little sort of dorsal type fin a guy could mount on his belly, give the chick a little something, you know, like a scratching post. you know what I'm saying?
A half pipe, quarter pipe.
Yeah, just something that comes up, and I wrap it in shag carpet. You know,
they have
like
toys like that.
Yeah, like the pylons in the parking structures at the apartment.
Yeah.
They have stuff that the guys put on.
They have things, and they have little clitoral stimulators that are placed right at the top there.
Yeah,
also vibrating eggs too.
I'm talking. Please refer to it as a C ring if you could, please.
The FCC police waved at us. We said
as
that.
Anderson has
a stroke.
Has an S fit over there when you say C ring.
No, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Okay, but I'm talking about something that I could actually wear like a belt. Like a belt that was up high, you know, like a kidney belt that had a little fin on it, a little something, a little, like I said, a little scratch post right on the belly that the chick could go ahead and rub up against.
Oh, so when you're not inside her then, because otherwise that would be too high.
Hold on a second. How come no one understands me?
I understand you, but you're putting it up too high.
He doesn't mean too high. He means down lower, the pelvis area. Yeah.
So right above your
pubic bone, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Pubic bone.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I did have that up too high. Yeah, I am in her. Yes. Nikki?
Yeah.
I'm in you. And I got this thing that you rub. It's like a little beanbag that you rub against.
That's a good idea to me.
A beanbag belt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would do good. You'd have to make it machine washable.
Who
knows,
like,
it'd be a mess after
right
a couple
now.
Of weeks. Huh?
I said you need to produce that, like, right now.
I should. I got a lot of stuff to work on. All right. Yeah.
Another question. You know how guys masturbate and so it takes them longer to come? Is that the same for women too, or no?
What are you talking about?
Like, you know how guys, they can jack off for like 4 or 5 times a day and so they can last longer while they're having sex?
Yes.
Is that for women, if I masturbate at least a couple times a day?
Yes, if you would come quicker if you held back a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I would assume. Sadie, what do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, guys do that so that when they can have sex longer when they're with their girl.
Okay.
So
no, we do it because we're like beating off, and then once in a while we get laid.
Too.
That's
you guys
works.
Can't help it.
We didn't really plan on it, though. It is a National Masturbation Month. And then June is what? Can't beat off month? Or what is?
Not for me.
You know, they have the whatever month. I would always, there should be an opposite, an antithesis month to
that. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if there's national, like, you know, if June is National Flower Day, Flower Month or something that these cockamamie bastards cook up all the time to try to get more of our money, then December should be No Flower Month. I mean, you can't have it both ways. You can't just announce that this is the national month.
And give us a break on the other end.
Like,
yeah.
If there's like National Be Kind to Seniors Month, then there should be Abuse to Seniors Month.
Yeah.
So you got to balance it out. Otherwise, it doesn't work for me. And if Masturbation Month is May, I say we make August a No Beating Off Month. I'm not going for it myself. But you kids, knock yourselves out. All right. Sadie Allison is our guest tonight. The name of her book, Tickle Your Fancy, it is out. It basically teaches the ladies how to pleasure themselves, and it's fun, it's informative. I found it a quick read. Drew?
Puckish satire.
That's right.
Way more at the head than the heart.
That's right. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break, and we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Sadie Allison is our guest tonight. She is a author. Tickle Your Fancy is the name of her book. It's about female masturbation, and she seems to know quite a bit about this topic. And also, she has a website. And if you want to see what she looks like and you want to read a chapter of the book, you can do that by going to
TickleKitty.com.
And we'll see pictures of you.
Yeah. There's pictures of me. There's a free report that reveals women's top 12 sexual fantasies.
Mm-hmm. What are those things?
Some of the fantasies are being dominated.
Right.
That's popular.
Right.
Another one is being with two men at the same time.
Right. Which is sort of, there's a little form of domination in there. Mm-hmm. Isn't most of it just about being sort of taken away?
In the domination or even in the role-playing of non-consensual sex.
When you say, "I gotta be raped, help!" That's right. That's my rape simulation. No, I mean, aren't 10 out of the 12 sort of involve a guy coming in and going, "Hey, honey, let me get a little
with
tug
the
on
fire
the hair.
Mitt, yeah.
This is how it's going to work. I'm going to nail you."
There's also a fantasy of getting paid for getting laid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, being the prostitute thing. You know, you're getting paid to make love.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of other interesting.
Wow. And what else? It makes sense. I just never would have thought about it. But it's all basically whatever it is you're not doing.
It ends up being power or disempower.
Mm-hmm. Or being watched is another very popular fantasy.
Hmm. Interesting.
And the rest of them are on TickleKitty.com.
All right. Well, go look that up and find out the other six or so. Let's talk to Nick, who's 18. Nick?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's happening,
hey,
buddy?
Nothing much. I'm just chilling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, dude, I got something to say.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you, man. Soccer is fagball.
Oh, you saw an episode of The Man Show.
Yeah, it's like my favorite show ever, man.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I suggested in an episode of The Man Show that because I get confused or the world gets confused, well, we call it football, but in the UK and in Europe, they do that. Oh, wait, football? No, we have football, but we don't call it football. You know, it's soccer, and it's always confusing. I suggest we change the name of soccer to fagball. You see? And that would straighten the whole thing out.
Thereby, you won't have to say American football.
Have football and fagball. Fagball would be the guys in the silk shorts kicking around the ball, and football would be, of course, American football. Thanks, Nick.
I love soccer legs.
No problem. I clear that up for you.
All right.
My ex-girlfriend, to say, is like, I don't know, we've like been, you know, talking, act like we're still together.
How long ex is she?
3 to 4 weeks.
And why did you break up?
She says that, like, I have like an anger problem, I guess.
Mm.
Because, like, I don't know, like flip out over some little things and...
Well, do you?
Yeah.
All right.
Kind of. I mean, I guess it's like in the family, I guess, I don't know.
So your dad used to do this?
Yeah, with the alcoholism and all that stuff.
So you were why don't you go deal with that?
How's the deal with it?
What?
Well, going to Al-Anon or getting individual therapy, or one of the things that comes out of those kinds of treatments is a marked reduction in aggressiveness, and sometimes those sorts of things you're calling temper tantrum kind of go away or at least subside.
Yeah, and like, I was talking to her about like getting back together, and she wants...
Did you hear anything I just said?
Yeah, I did.
What did I say?
You said that...
Where should you go?
I should go get like help.
No.
Where?
At Al-Anon and...
And or individual therapy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what you need to do.
All right.
Forget about her?
Well,
unless you can change, all the same thing's going to happen all over again.
Well, but here, if you do want to get her back, the good news, everybody, is sometimes you'll often kill two birds with one stone. What she's tired of is these... broken promises and all the people end up trying to manipulate everyone into them thinking that they're the kind of person that they want them to be.
Right, how do I
instead
get it
of just
back?
Becoming the goddamn person that they're supposed to be.
Right.
This is all guys do with chicks. It's like they freak out on a chick, and instead of actually going and getting some therapy and she seeing that you're straightening your life out, you just try to convince her that you're not that guy.
Right.
When of course you're actually more of that guy now, because now you're manipulating.
And you'll be more attractive to her when she sees you become a better person and get help. There's a lot of respect
that
goes with that.
That's what I'm saying.
But he should be doing it for himself.
Do it for yourself, and then she will see you do it, just like in a movie.
Laura, 21.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, one of my erogenous zones is my perineum, like between the back of my vagina and my anus.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently heard someone speak about deliveries when you're giving birth and them doing an episiotomy.
Mm-hmm.
And can that negatively affect my pleasure in that area?
Mm, yeah, possibly, I suppose. Certainly it's better than the tearing that would go on if they didn't do the episiotomy, or it could go on.
How do you know that's your erogenous zone there?
How do you know?
Well, I mean, how do you do it? Does somebody push on it or monkey with it or poke at it with a broomstick? What do you do when you're making love?
It's actually in foreplay. I like to be touched there.
In the perineum there, just sort of, all right. And what about during sex? Can you get down there for that?
No, it's a little difficult to reach out, imagine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Drew could do it. He's a passionate
There's
man.
The good positions, though, that you can get in where he can reach his arm around and get you there easily.
What about some good old-fashioned doggies right there? I mean, you can't miss that.
Right. But with the episiotomy, is it really a benefit, do you think, then?
Well, if you, without the episiotomy, it's potentially you could tear. The tear goes right on all the way through your rectum sometimes.
So you're saying...
The episiotomy is prevent a tear. Because people, when they first give birth, often tear. Things, the whole perineum tears open. So the episiotomy keeps that under control so you don't traumatize the area so severely.
Won't there be scar tissue afterwards?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Which
not
is always...
Again, as long as the nerves aren't damaged particularly. But, you know, we're going to get a million calls now from people who are going to say, oh, we know how to stretch the perineum and there's all the stuff you can do. And there's a lot of stuff that can be done to try to stretch it out. But the fact is...
No, you know,
risk is that you tear, and then you have a worse problem with your perineal sensitivity.
That wooden thing is stuff in your shoes.
Shoe form.
No, not the horn.
Oh, the thing.
The form.
The former, I see. To keep the...
Yeah, it's spring-loaded.
Yeah.
It's got the front of it, looks like the front of a foot, and the back looks like a spring-loaded heel.
Put that in your vagina. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah.
That's another one of the toys you need to invent.
That I could see putting that foot thing up there. And you know, they usually make it out of cedar. It's nice. It smells good. Make your vagina smell good. Keep the moths out of there.
Oh, God.
Sadie Allison is our guest. She's the masturbation queen. I'm just good enough for now. Tickle Your Fancy's name for book, and we'll be right back. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. This is my theme song. See, Sadie, what I'm doing here is I've just entered the club, okay?
All right.
But I'm walking in slow motion, but I got a real strut going, you know? And you can just see my feet, you know, we pan down, you cut to the feet. You just see the feet moving, wearing some slick boots to kind of zip up on the side. Then it's up, I got a toothpick hanging out of my mouth, I'm wearing some shades, some wraparound shades. And wait a minute.
This is what they actually see.
Always funny.
It's the balloon over everyone's head in the room. The thought balloon. Thought bubble.
Sadie Allison is our guest tonight. She is the author of Tickle Your Fancy. All right, that's enough of that. May's National Masturbation Month. So those of you who have not been aware of this have to double down now because we're really in the last week or so of May. You gotta really get busy. All right.
Catch up.
Yeah. Also, ticklekitty.com is where you can go to find pictures of Sadie and read a chapter of her book and have the 12 most requested whatever.
Top 12 sexual fantasies women crave.
Right. And also, Sadie was just telling me she's going to be on that Playboy show. What's that called? 411?
Night Calls 411 this
Night
Wednesday.
Calls. Yeah. Are you going to be getting naked and stuff?
I'm not getting naked. I'm the teacher. I'm the coach.
You're not doing anything.
I'm going to be there helping all the women on the set teach them different techniques from my book, Tickle Your Fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be playing around with the masturbation jumpstart kit that you guys have right here.
Oh, good times.
Which is also seen at ticklekitty.com.
Yeah.
So all the girls on the set are going to be using these exact toys.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep this in my car in case I break down. You know, sometimes you blow a tire and you're off the side of the road and it's late night and you got to force a dildo up your ass. You know what I'm saying, Drew?
Oh, yeah.
How many times have you been caught without one?
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
I wish I could
is what
force
it is.
One up my ass.
And
once
in a while, I'll use the Space Saver dildo that comes with a car, but that's nothing. I mean, that's like a popsicle stick. I need something that's got some meat. So
I feel that on the table over here.
Yeah.
Drew's playing with one of the vibrators.
Yeah. He brought that one in, actually. That's didn't come in the packet. So you're going to be teaching the girls how to masturbate on Night Calls 411. You know, that show, it's got naked chicks and everything, but I find it distracting because they have to pretend like they like it. And these guys call in, they're like, hey, could you put your big toe in the other one's cooch? And she's like, you sound hot. And he's like, yeah. I mean, I wiped myself off because I fell in some pig excrement earlier today when I showered off. But put your toe in the other one's cooch. And she's like, anything for you. You sound so hot. I'm just thinking to myself, really? Are you that into it, honey? Are we just pretty? I mean, here's the thing, Drew. We do, everyone does everything for money, right?
Mm.
But we don't pretend like we want to be here. Well, not on a Sunday night. I mean, we like the gig. I mean, look, we did the TV show for years. We never pretended like we wanted to do the TV show.
No.
We let everyone know we're doing it for the money. It's a gig. Do you know what I'm saying?
TV show, we seemed especially bored and
No, but we would say it.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go. This is boring. Let's get our money. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
But that poor 411 thing. You sound hot, baby. Yeah, I want you to blow a booger and the other one's rectum. Ooh, you're naughty, aren't you? Yeah. Take that mood ring you got and put it out. They'll start sounding like the Puma from the Bugs Bunny cartoon. I take a whole lot of love.
Oh, yeah.
How many lumps would you like in that coffee? I take a whole lot of lumps. David?
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, that's one thing that's missing from television today. Lump humor.
Yes.
When you would say, how many lumps do you want in your coffee? And the guy would say three, and he'd pull a hammer out and whack you over the head three times.
Or lumps of coal, or some sort of lump.
Yeah, the idea that the amount of sugar they were going to put in your coffee was known as a lump, and then that would get mistaken for a bump on the head.
Well, I think in general, hitting the head, you know, whacking the head humor down a little bit.
Head trauma down?
Yeah, the
cartoons.
Especially with the bumps rising out of the head.
Yeah, well,
with the red top.
June is National Head Trauma Month, by the way.
There it is.
So we can look forward to a little rise in it. David?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 15. What's your question?
All right. A while ago, a friend of mine told me that you could sell testicles for, like, hella money. And, like, at the UW or something, or any kind of, this is University of Washington down here. And I was just wondering if that was true, if you can actually sell testicles for money.
What about it, Drew? You ever heard of that?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. I would think that would be unethical.
It just doesn't make sense. What would they do with it?
And who would consider even doing it for any type of money?
What would they do with it?
Well, don't they need them? Maybe someone who had lost a testicle to cancer?
Testicle transplant? You ever heard of that?
No, but why not?
No.
Well, you can do a liver, you can do hearts, you can do
no testicles.
Lungs. Why
Plus,
not?
The testicle would be producing somebody else's sperm, even if you could.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So you mean if I took like a black guy's nuts and put them into my sack, my kid would be black?
It just doesn't work, yeah.
Let's think about that for a second. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? I gotta write that down.
Yeah.
It's gonna be my next movie idea. Black sack, I call it. Really, I mean, I could take like a big fat Samoan guy and put his nutsack into mine and put his ball into my nutsack and I'd have a Samoan kid.
Yeah, and he'd be an athlete.
Yeah. Really?
Why don't you just take that?
I got to think about it. I got to think about this. Drew, would it be hard to hook up and get functional?
Impossible.
Why? But why? Doesn't a heart seem like a taller order or a set of lungs?
No. Well, plus, you know, one of the things that happens from all the immune suppressive therapies, the testes stop working. So why put a new one in?
Oh, when you have cancer. Testicular cancer, you mean?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
No, I know what they're talking about.
What are you saying? No, what was your last point?
That some chemotherapies would stop
testes. Yeah, so when you have testicular.
But then there's also immune suppressive medications you need to take to tolerate an organ transplant.
I see, and that would shut the
that might shut them down. So,
Jerry,
yeah,
you're 14.
Yeah,
what's up?
Well, around 2 weeks ago, I got oral sex, and starting around yesterday and today, my my right testicle started to hurt.
You're 14.
Yeah,
the first time this happened to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And who was the dude? Was this a boyfriend of yours?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a boyfriend of yours.
No.
Just some dude you met?
No.
Who was it?
Was it
just some girl.
Some girl.
Oh, okay. Said dude five times.
Yeah, I didn't get offended. I was waiting.
I kind of thought you were going to say that.
Really?
Yeah.
You're gay.
No, I'm not.
Now I got to hang up on
All right, here's the deal. I think I have a feeling Jerry's bogus. Just too flippant, but be that as it may, it's not uncommon to get that kind of problem. Actually, what it can do, some guys get a urethritis and some irritation that then can cause an epididymitis or a prostatitis. And so you can get some swelling and pain in the testy. Sometimes anti-inflammatories, Motrin, that kind of thing takes care of it. Sometimes you need to be on some antibiotics, so may need to be looked at.
Jake?
Yeah.
20, what's up?
Well, I was wanting to, I have a question for your guest. Me and my girlfriend, when we're fooling around and stuff, she likes to, for me to finger her and things. And I was wanting to know what I can do to help her achieve better orgasms when I do that.
Okay, so is this when you're actually having intercourse that you're touching her?
Nah. She's all religious, so she doesn't let me have sex.
That's one of the guys that calls 411.
Oh, no.
Isn't it?
Jake.
Holy shit, baby.
Yeah, do me a favor. Say, put your big toe into her coos.
Baby, put your big toe in a cooch, yeah.
No, listen, you don't have to sound like Boss Hogg. You can just sound like you.
Hey, can you put your big toe in her cooch?
No, much, much better.
Done and done. You sound hot.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Have you ever tried vibrators with her?
No, we haven't.
You've got to try a vibrator if you haven't gotten there yet and you're looking for new ways to explore.
I'm not real sexually knowledgeable, I guess you could say, and so I'm kind of unfamiliar with the oral sex thing too. I wanted to know maybe what can I do there.
We need to get you a copy of Tickle Your Fancy because it goes through all the different types of sex toys out there and how to use them, how to pick them out, and there's information and sex toys at my website, ticklekitty.com.
Ticklekitty.com.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll put in my two cents here. I got a couple things to say about them vibrators. First off, they need to be accurate more than they need to be large, you know? I mean, you need to hit the right spot. The novelty stuff is not where it's at. The simpler, slightly smaller stuff seem to be a little more effective. And the other thing is don't tell your girlfriend you're going to go buy her one because they'll almost always say no. Either they do mean no or they just feel like they should say no. There's all that stuff. Like there's stuff that women do that they announce that they're going to do for a guy, and you'd say no. They go, I'm going to go get you a new blazer. You know, no. Come on, honey. Don't waste. No. I'll pick something up. You don't need to. It's the same kind of thing.
Right.
It's like what we feel like with clothes and stuff. Or almost anything that a woman announces she's going to go get for us. So, don't worry. Save your money. That's fine. I'll get something. But you announce that to a woman, I'm going to go get your vibrator. No. Don't do it.
Yeah, just surprise her.
But don't surprise her. Don't surprise her in the driveway with it. You take this vibrator and you slide it between like the mattress and the box spring. I mean, you hide this thing. Then you get the sex going and you get the juices flowing and you get her heated up a little,
right.
And then you slide the thing out and you spring it on her that way. But you don't pull the thing out, you know, at 12 noon under the hot sun when she's running off to work or doing something like that. You pull the thing out and you give her a glass of wine, get her juiced up a little bit, and then pull it out and spring it on her. Believe me, they'll go for it. The rate of going for it at that point is about 100% higher than it is of, I'm going to go out and get you a whole lot of love.
That's definitely a good method. Another way, if she's open to it, if maybe you've had a discussion about it, is to go shopping at a toy store with her and pick something out together. A lot of couples like to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on, you know, how you guys are together and your knowledge of her experience with vibrators, then that's an option.
But that to me is, you go out and pick out the second vibrator. The first one you got to go get. Because if you say to her, let's go out vibrator shopping, she's going to get a little freaked out. And then you don't want her to say no, and then now you can't do it. You know what I'm saying?
No, the ambush won't work either. I told you no.
Right now the ambush is weird because she said no and you went ahead and did it anyway.
Right.
All right.
And what I've done with these kits is for guys just like this. This is a newcomer's starter kit. And I specifically picked out these toys for someone who's just getting into trying them.
Right.
And there's a waterproof vibrator in there, the mini massager.
This one?
The one Drew was just playing with in the little white.
Well, that was up his ass.
Little white.
That's waterproof?
Yeah, it's waterproof and there's a bottle of bubble bath that comes in the kit. There's a G-spot vibrator and a few other surprises along with the book. So it's perfect for someone with his type of needs.
My first vibrator is really what it is, a nice starter kit. That's sweet.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep this thing. I'll give it to my sister.
The masturbation jumpstart kit.
She's just pregnant.
She's pregnant, so after she delivers, I'll give her this. You know, just sure I've been thinking of it.
I'm dying to talk to you about this evening I spent with your girlfriend and everybody else. Your people that spent the whole evening with your mom and your sister and your grandma. I got a lot of good material.
What do you want to say? Well, do it tomorrow night. Because we don't have a guest tomorrow night.
All right.
Will?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
Hold on. You didn't go to dinner with my mom and my grandma.
No, but they
were. You never actually saw them.
They were the topic of discussion. I saw that there was a video, first of all, of the whole evening.
Oh, really?
So I saw that.
All right.
And then everyone was discussing your.
We'll bring it up tomorrow night. Right. We'll get into it tomorrow night. Will?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Hey, I just had a comment on the girl, Nikki. She was the one that was having a problem. Having an orgasm during intercourse.
Right.
You know, I get my girl, my girlfriend gets on top of me, and what we do is I lick the back of my hand, and I kind of, with the, you know, how Spock has his little hand sign.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of slide it down there at the base of my penis, and just kind of rubs on it. And
he shoves his hand up.
Yeah, he gives himself the dorsal fin.
Yeah, right. So, you know, it's exactly, but we don't have to go to the store and buy that, you know?
Yeah, I know. Well, it doesn't exist.
And I'm too lazy for that, to put his hand down there. You have to hold it there.
I want to make something that straps on like a belt and offers a little back support.
I have a question for Drew.
Yeah.
I have a problem. I guess, I don't know. When my girlfriend and I have intercourse, everything's fine. And as soon as I pull out either to switch positions or to, you know, whatever, as soon as I come back in her, it hurts or she burns.
How long have you been doing this before you pull out?
I mean, it could be a couple minutes. It could be half hour, whatever.
It's 2 minutes or 30 minutes, you stop. You can't get started again without her burning.
Right. And she says that she's had problems with her, like a urinary tract infection in the past.
Yeah, well, that would make it hurt when she urinates.
Right.
It wouldn't make it painful during intercourse?
Yeah, it may make it uncomfortable, but it wouldn't make her vagina burn, which is what she's describing, I think.
Yeah,
and what is it about? I can't figure out what it is about stopping for a second, especially if it's been just a very short period of time. You sure it's 2 minutes and not always like 20 minutes?
It's whenever we switch a position, you know.
I understand it's whenever, but are you sure that has ever happened after 2 minutes or 3 minutes?
No, I can't say for sure.
All right, so it's probably just that things have actually been going too long, and she probably has a problem with lubrication, she's irritated.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're giving her a little break there, and it's like, hey, stop. She may even have some muscle spasm and some vaginismus that follows that. So just realize that she is not that's not her interval. That's too long for her. You're going too long.
Right, that's happened to me, too. After you go for a while, the lubrication gets rubbed away, and then when you take it out and you go to put it back in, then you don't, it's not there for it to slide back in, and that's when you want to use lubrication.
Hold on.
Get a little bottle of lube.
You're not a virgin?
No, I'm not.
Shocking. Well, you know, it strikes me that this happens in most facets of life, which is when you get going, like let's say you're exercising, you're running on a treadmill and you're running hard and you really got it going on and you're going hard for 20 minutes and then you stop. Your body sort of begs you not to get back and do whatever it was you were doing. Now, you probably could have gone another 10 minutes at the pace you're on, but for whatever reason, once you stop, your body just kind of is like, yeah, that's enough. And it probably works the same way sexually, then,
yep,
right?
I think so.
It seems to be everything physically, it's kind of makes it hard to get back
on
it.
When you've been overexerting, when you've already exceeded your sort of comfort zone,
right?
Then your body goes, F-fah.
Right. Okay, let's talk. Your body's Yiddish.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Speaks Yiddish anyway.
Leanna?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Last night, me and my boyfriend were messing around, and he started playing with my clitoris. And ever since then, it's been really sore and really tender, and I don't know why. Is there something wrong?
Well, what'd he do to it?
He was like, I'm not sure.
Was he irritating it? Was he... abusing it.
What was he using to do this?
His fingers.
So you know what a lot of guys do is they will rub you and touch you on your clitoris, which is very, very sensitive, and they're not getting it wet first, either with saliva or her natural fluids or lubrication.
Or again, guys
that can tug it and it hurts.
But as Adam has said, it's you know, guys will treat you like they want to be treated.
Right.
Want to go on and talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I guys have a different idea of sexuality than women. Guys like the idea of being worked over a little bit, you know? I mean, we like the idea of vigorous, dry sex oftentimes. I mean, we want to get worked over. I mean, I always, the analogy I use is between a cat and a dog. I got hold of my friend's, friend Chris's dog. He has like a 100-pound black lab. I got hold of that. The thing's fat as a barbecue. It looks like a walking barbecue. It's a big barbecue. This thing looks big. I grabbed hold of Murphy. I grabbed hold of this thing. I saw it yesterday. I tackled the thing. Yeah. Start grabbing, start tugging at its ears, start slapping its belly and working its paws over.
He loved it.
Banged the bejesus out of it.
Of course.
I mean, I worked the hell out of this dog. I mean, I had it like a headlock and stuff. The dog liked it, you know. But then I saw my buddy, my other buddy, the Wheeze. I saw his cat today. Now, I just stuck my hand out and let the cat sort of push up against my hand. If I tried to roll the cat over and start tugging on its ears, it would have freaked the cat out. And that's
right.
What
two different
that's
animals.
What it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Women are cats, we're dogs. So guys, even though you're a dog, the chicks ain't a dog. Don't treat her that way.
Right, but sometimes women can enjoy that rough kind of doggish type sex.
You gotta work slow. Gotta work into
up
it though.
To it, yeah. And you've
not,
gotta
not
use...
the way males do. Males want it from right now. Boom. Just like you walk up and tackle. There's very few women.
Yeah,
that
women.
Find that
women can work it into start rubbing up against the hand and start doing it. But just you can do that with a cat too, where eventually you'll get them rolled over on their back and you're really giving them a good working over. But it's got to start. It's got to start from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like I said, I saw this dog Murphy. I tackled it, knocked it over immediately, and started smacking.
Yeah, and that's how guys want to be treated, and they assume that there's so much nonsense out there. Women want exactly what men want, and so that's what men do.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anyway, now Leanna over here probably just needs a little time off the
area. Just warm baths, maybe some calmoseptine cream, that kind of thing.
Calmoseptine cream.
Let me ask a question. Was there any lube used, or was it wet down there when he was rubbing and touching your clitoris?
It was kind of wet, but there was no lubrication or anything.
But yeah. You were wet.
Yeah.
When he was touching you, was it beginning to be uncomfortable at that time, or only was it today you were sore?
It was, like, after and today. But not
do you feel irritated like you continue to have orgasm?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
Like all the time. No.
Hey, Leanna?
Yeah.
Try some lube.
How old is this guy?
He's 16.
All right. Yeah, okay. Take it slow.
No one touches you for a week. Wear cotton underwear. Take warm bath twice a day. And try some calmoseptine or some sort of...
Calmoseptine?
Yeah, that's what we use for perineal irritation.
What is that stuff?
It's zinc oxide, basically.
Perineal? What? Oh, I mean, what is that?
That's what we use on people that wear diapers all the time.
Oh, good times. What does that perineal mean?
Perineal is just where your seam is under you.
Perineum, right?
Yeah.
Hi, hey, Leanna?
Yeah.
Yeah, good times. Listen, don't get pregnant.
All right?
All right. Please, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a thought, but I can't remember what it was. But I was thinking of this big fat Murphy dog. I really like to get my paws on this dog again. 100-pound lab. Nothing better. I think it makes weird noises, you know? Falls over. Then every once in a while it does one of these. You know, dogs do that big sigh thing. They get into some kind of REM thing.
Right.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Sadie Allison is our guest tonight. She's an expert on masturbation, orgasm, and basically the whole vagina area. Take a little break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Sadie Allison is our guest tonight. She's the author of Tickle Your Fancy. It's a guide to masturbation?
A woman's guide to sexual self-pleasure. And a lot more information on it at ticklekitty.com.
Is it hot in here, Drew, or is it just the way it always is? This
you're,
is
wearing,
me?
You're wearing a sweatshirt or something tonight.
Mm, yeah, but...
It's a heavy shirt.
Okay, that's it? That's all?
It's cooler than usual.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
All right, maybe you're right. Josh?
Yes.
You're 23. What's up?
Well, I've been having sex for about five, six years, and I can never quite get off unless I'm on top or I'm doing it doggy style. And I'm wondering why I can't get it when I'm, you know, on the bottom or when I'm getting the oral or any of that.
When you're on top? Okay. How do you beat off?
Oh, just about any way I can, any time I can. I'm a big penis fan.
Big fan of penis? What normally, what position are you in when you masturbate?
Oh, laying down, standing up, sitting down. much anything.
No, no standard position is the answer there.
No. Got to keep it new.
All right. So what? That's just your
Hold
preference.
Hold on a second. You beat off in, you know, a variety of positions all the time, every time?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a VCR?
DVD.
You have a DVD. And what room is that in?
Oh, my room.
Your bedroom.
Do you have a preferential?
Do you stand in front of the TV and beat off?
Occasionally.
What's your preference?
My preference? Probably laying down or sitting down.
All right. So
okay.
Back.
I'd say it's about 90% of
but
that.
But that's how he can't orgasm.
Right. Well, I wanted to get to that first.
Yeah, yeah.
So listen, you screwballs, your answer of everything under the sun never helps.
Yeah.
When I say, like, hey, what's your favorite car? I don't want to hear, I like Porsche, Ferrari, Mazda, and Mitsubishi, and Toyota, and Ford, and, you know, Chevy. Two-door, four-door, convertible, hardtop, coupes, you know, automatic.
SUVs.
Five-speed SUVs. And
diesels.
RVs, you know, recreational vehicles, stuff like that, motorcycles, mopeds. That's pretty much fair. That doesn't help me. Doesn't help. So you do it on your back, and you have an orgasm when you're on your back, but yet you cannot have an orgasm when you're on your back and a woman is on top of you.
Yeah.
That's actually common, and it's partially because he's not in control anymore. He can go at a certain speed usually when he's on top, but when a woman gets on top, then it's a whole different thing going on. And that's a common issue.
So that when he's on top, he can set his pace.
Right.
And when he's in doggy position, he can set his pace.
Mm-hmm. When he's on the bottom, she's in control, and he's counting on her to know how fast, what
right.
angle, you know, all
right.
that good stuff.
Well, Josh?
Yeah.
Maybe you, you put your hands on her hips and you kind of move her the angle that you like and move her the pace that you like. And you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's going to help focus you a little bit.
Well, I've tried that. I've tried controlling when she's given an oral and stuff like that, and I can't get it there. And to them, it's a lot of disappointment. I've had women that are like, well, I'm really good at this, and, well, it doesn't work, and they're,
it's tough,
they're hurt, so I feel bad.
No, I know. I know the heartache of not having a hot load put in my mouth. I've felt the sting of that.
Oh,
of
man.
Hey, you want to talk about the prom? Okay. That was the prom for me. Yeah, that's tough. It's disappointment. He's 23. He's got the doggy and he's got the on top thing down. I think he's going to work this one out. I mean, I don't know. Don't have so much anxiety about it.
Yeah.
By the way, you got two positions you get off in. That's fine.
Right. That's right.
You get off doggy, great. Finish off doggy. And as a matter of fact, having a position that you don't orgasm in is probably a pretty good thing to have as a guy.
Yeah.
That's a good challenge. Another thing to try would be to masturbate for a while till you are almost at that point. And then have her hop on and see if you can finish it off and start there.
Right, but that's like bowling. And try running up and knocking the pins over your hands and then just taking the ball and rolling it in the last
well,
one.
If
it's
he's
like,
yeah,
you get a strike.
There,
yeah, feel real good about yourself that way. No, put an X in the box, honey. I knocked him over. We don't need to do that as guys. That's a chick thing. We're not having any interest in feeling good about ourselves. You know what I mean? We got to fool ourselves into thinking we did something. Yeah, not going to work. No, what I was saying, though, is that the idea that he can't have, forget the challenge part of it, if he can't have an orgasm in this position, then that's his position. I mean, if he's with a new chick and he's scared the gun's going to go off too quick, you don't hop right into the doggy.
Yeah, good point.
You get into that position, you give her a nice ride, and then, boom.
Yeah.
Time to finish her off.
Useful.
James?
Yes?
Drew, you wish you had a position, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your position is dead. That's the only position you don't orgasm in, right? Tula coming out of you. James?
What's up?
You're 16. What's up?
Yeah, can I ask you a question, man?
Go ahead.
Okay, first I want to say, Dr. Drew, Adam, love you guys. Got my dad listening to you.
Thanks.
He loves you.
Thank him.
And,
thank you.
Yeah, you mind if I say hi to him?
Your dad?
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Hey, Dad. Okay, anyway.
All right.
Dad, I just got out of this relationship with this girl, and I started dating another girl, and now this girl calls back and tells me she wants me back.
How long have you been dating the new girl?
About a week.
Do you like her?
Yeah.
You broke up with the last one?
Well, she broke up with me.
Why?
I don't know.
Is this new one kind of just a rebound?
Not really.
You're into the new one?
Yeah, I've liked her for like a while, and I've...
All right. Well, good. That's a better deal for you then, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just...
All right. Well, listen, the first one broke up with you. You have no guilt or shame about this. She dumped you. You started dating someone that you have liked for a while and that you like better than her.
It's perfect.
Do the math.
Yeah, that's it. She dumped you.
All right. Let's talk to Freddie, who's 23. Freddie?
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Okay, the situation I'm in, I'm dating a woman at work who I'm very fond of.
Mm-hmm.
My peers are giving me, you know, a lot of heat because she's black. And
what are your peers? I understand. Why are your peers giving you grief?
Because I'll make a lot of racial jokes and, you know, and always say bad things about, you know, the other type of race, but...
You do.
Yeah, but just kidding around, though. But then I meet a woman who's really, really cool, and I like her a lot.
Right.
You look like a hypocrite.
Are they giving you grief, or are they just trying to get you to sort of stop being so abusive towards other races when your true feelings are not the way you suggest?
No, they're giving me grief because these guys, you know, they're like a bunch of rednecks, you know. They live on the other side of town, you know, and, you know, like they're like trailer trash, you know.
Yeah, all right.
And...
Mason John.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other problem. She has a butthole.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, Freddie. Drew caught you. How'd you know that, Drew?
I could just tell.
Said that voice, huh?
No, it was not. It was a new one, but I could just tell he was heading towards it.
You guys are good.
Yeah, see,
there was
good.
No feeling.
Yeah.
No feeling.
Drew's good. Yeah, he didn't seem that.
Yeah.
Andy was his story was a little weird in that he made a lot of those jokes, and now he's with them, and they're giving him.
It's just no feeling. The feelings weren't right. There's no affect behind it.
Yeah, didn't seem to care.
Yeah.
All right, good call there, Drew. Joe?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I want to say you guys are great. I've been listening to you since you're on MTV, and ever since then I found you on the radio. I'm like, yes.
God bless. Thank you. God bless Drew, by the way, for knowing that was a butthole the size of the mason jar call. But probably about 8 seconds. I know he rushed it a little bit once he knew the cat was out of the bag, but still seemed like timing-wise he was about ready to say it. Very nice, Drew.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, Joe. Sorry. Go ahead.
See, if we were still on TV.
Yeah?
No, not all right?
Yeah.
If we were still on TV, I could have like a tote board for that.
Yeah.
See?
That's
visual,
right.
It would be nice.
Too bad. You'll never be on TV again, Drew. That's too bad. Joe, go ahead, buddy.
All right. My girlfriend can't masturbate if I'm not there, or she can't actually have an orgasm unless I'm there.
Mm. We actually get that kind of complaint from women in the early 20s and late teens, not uncommonly.
Well,
and the feeling is that by themselves, that doesn't feel right, doesn't make sense, unless they can have an intimate experience with it. They just don't function sexually, and they don't know how to find that by themselves. And that's something I'd love, Sadie, for somebody to be able to figure out how to tell a young woman. How do you get that feeling place that goes along with being sexual without having another person present?
Yeah, that's tough. And I think you need to set yourself outside of the fact that you're in an intimate setting with another person, but now you're making love with yourself. So it's a whole different situation. And that's where fantasy comes into play. I mean, 50% of the women out there fantasize with their masturbation experiences.
50%?
Yeah.
What are the other 50% doing? Just looking at pictures of Time Life and stuff?
I could do it when the TV's on, or I'm just taking...
In a way, don't you have to... Doesn't your mind have to go somewhere?
No. Not everybody fantasizes. Uh-uh. It could be a totally physical thing, just like women will masturbate to alleviate menstrual cramps because you release endorphins and the pressure with orgasm.
No, I'm down with the orgasm part, but I got to believe... I know. Everyone comes on the show and then we tell them what they're doing.
Well, but
there's got to be more than 50% of women not fantasizing when they're masturbating.
For guys, they fantasize much more, but women.
No, we just look. They don't fantasize. They
really,
look.
It's just visual.
Visual.
Yeah.
Men do not fantasize.
Well, some of the guys.
Unless they have nothing to look at, they do.
It's hard to define fantasizing. I mean, if you're watching a porno. You're looking, but there's also some fantasy involved
with it as well. Women can read a magazine, and that's their fantasy. Men do not do that.
I understand that, but you're also making my argument, which is I don't think women just stare at the ceiling fan and think of nothing.
Right.
That often.
No, they think of. Well,
Sadie's saying 50% of the time they don't. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't compute. Do you know what I'm saying?
I understand
you can have the TV on, and plus you're an expert. You squeeze one of these things out in a coma.
Uh-huh.
But, God willing, one day. But, I mean, most women, they tell you they thought about this or they were thinking of that. I mean, it may not be a visual, deep fantasy, but they have some idea about something. I don't know if I've ever... I've never masturbated with sort of a clean slate, just sort of thinking about work and moving my hand. I'm going to try that tonight. Think about work.
I was in bed one night watching Howard Stern on TV, and I was pleasuring myself, and he had Tori Spelling on, and they were talking about masturbation. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about the exact same thing and about fantasizing. And he goes, so what do you do when you masturbate? You have to be fantasizing. You can't just be doing it and like watching TV, can you?
It's weird.
I was cracking up to myself. Yeah, I was just...
like he could see you. It's like you were high on mushrooms.
Had you been, it would have been pretty weird.
One time I was beating off, and Tom Likas started talking to me through the radio.
Oh,
tape.
Boy.
Yeah. So I got to tell you, during the break about that, it was crazy. Uh-huh. Crazy. And actually, no, it wasn't Likas. Likas was the grease man. Hey, smacka, smacka. True loves. Who's that? Pete the Puma?
Pete Puma.
We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back with more masturbation talk after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number. Oh, forget about that. It's too late. Let's, Sadie Allison is our guest tonight, and she's the author of Tickle Your Fancy, and it's a book about self-pleasure for women.
But it's also the other team's playbook for the guys.
Right.
It's a little, you want to become a stud overnight and learn how to pleasure your girl, it's the same techniques, and I wrote it all down in a really easy-to-read fashion with tons of illustrations.
Yeah, and you know what I like about it? It's not 375 pages long. It's probably about 80 pages.
Yeah, 88.
88 pages. And you know what? Listen, that's enough. Even 88 may be too long. But there's some good pictures in here, some good illustrations. It's the kind of thing you could slide in your back pocket and read on the bus. And it's easy. It makes it easy. It's kind of a almost a cheat sheet more than a book. A lot of guys get intimidated because the stuff's, you know, as fat as an encyclopedia,
right.
And it's got a whole bunch of technical crap in it, and it becomes more like some sort of technical manual or something. What are those books called?
Cliff
you notes? Cheat with?
Cliff
yeah, notes. It's like a cliff mm-hmm. note for your vagina.
Right.
Really, really is.
And it's a how-to book, so it doesn't discuss the history of masturbation or the taboos and all that stuff. It's just how do I do this?
Yeah,
do I use sex toys?
Yeah, there's way too much of that I find in most books. Well, most people aren't interested in the origins of the word masturbation. That kind of stuff. They just want to get their girly off.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay, let's talk to Jennifer's 25. Jennifer.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been with my boyfriend for 4 years, and this last September, I got pregnant, and he convinced me to have an abortion, and since then, I have regretted it like you can't believe, and my behavior is becoming destructive, and I can't afford a counselor, and I don't know what I should do.
Are you angry at him?
I feel like I'm lashing out against him, but like... it's not rational, so I don't feel angry, but
well,
I suppose I am.
But you feel like he manipulated you.
Yes.
All right, so you're probably a little bit angry at him. Maybe a little at yourself. Jeez. How long ago was this?
Just last September. I found out that I was pregnant like 3 days after September 11th.
Are you depressed?
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped taking the pill, and that was my first destructive behavior. Mm-hmm. I convinced myself that I just didn't have time to go get another pack, but,
well, is this before you got pregnant or after?
After I had the abortion, I stopped taking the
pill. Oh, okay.
To try to get pregnant again?
Not intentionally, but at first.
All right. Well, Jennifer, we don't really know if it was the abortion that caused this, and I'm sure it helped, or this was coming up anyway.
Well,
maybe both.
Well, and the fact is that women are not coached enough on how profound the sense of loss can be after an abortion. It is a profound biological shift that many women describe as a feeling of intense loss. And in addition, there's also an awareness that you've lost something, that an actual conscious awareness that's not just a physiologic loss. And so there's a lot of things that come to bear that can make you feel awful afterwards. The fact that you're... The emptiness, though, is what I was going to get at next. And that suggests something about your personality structure. And emptiness and then acting out and self-destruction and cutting and all that, that's kind of borderline behavior. That's sort of what people do when they've got personality issues.
Did she say cutting?
Well,
I don't cut.
I understand that, but some women have more severe pathology around in this area will start doing more overt kinds of self-destructive kinds of things. And it really becomes important that you do something to help yourself, whether it's a support group or a county hospital or county mental health services, just something to get yourself going a little bit.
Well, what kind of family do you come from?
Normal suburb. Parents married my whole life, you know, sister and brother kind of thing.
No depression before this?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Alright, but pretty clearly depression now, and right. Then the way you're reacting to that depression suggests even more going on here. So why don't you go to a county mental health facility and see if at least you can get something going here, maybe some referrals, some room and support groups, that kind of thing. Alright? Because this is highly treatable, Jennifer, what you've got, and you're going to hurt yourself if you're not careful.
Okay.
All right. All right, baby. Good times. All right?
Thanks.
All right. I want to talk to line one here. Mike?
Hey.
You have a G-spot question?
Yes, I do. First, I want to say, hey, give Dr. Drew my love. Love the show. And Adam, you make me laugh about one time out of five, so that's pretty good batting average.
One time.
Out of
one
what?
One time out of five.
One out of five.
That's not bad. Out of five what, though?
Five jokes.
Yeah.
Five rants.
If you don't know, how do you know if it's a joke, you know?
If he's not laughing.
If you're not laughing, how do you know it's a joke?
When your pie hole's open.
What?
If you're talking.
Oh, I see what I'm talking about.
If your pie hole's open.
Oh, I see that pie hole. All right, Mike. Hey, Mike?
Yep.
All right. Listen, everybody. There's a button right here that I wish I had.
In life.
It's just a button where you're gone. You're like, you magically go away.
Ejection seat.
And I would use the heck out of that thing in real life. I would use it in personal situations. I would use it when I got pulled over. I would use it for people in front of me in lines. I use it. I'd wear my finger out from using this thing all day. Now, why people call this show and know that I have my finger hovering over this button and how much I love to use it, and then get on with the critiques and the criticisms, I'll never know. Do you know what I'm saying, Drew?
Yep.
And my feeling is I don't mind if someone calls in and lays into us show-wise. I actually, for my money, we don't get enough of those calls.
Right, I agree with you.
And we always encourage it. And if there's a call, and this is how Drew is and it's how I am too, if there's a call up on the thing that says, has a problem with something you said, wants to take issue with, Drew, we always take that question first. As a matter of fact, I hate to give it away, but you want to get on the air? Call up and say you take issue with something, and Drew will put you up first. But when you call and you just kind of, you have a question, but you got to kind of get your critique out first, and it's not really so much a critique as it is just a jab in the side, and now you think you're going to get on with your question? You folks can blow me. definitely not going to sit here for that. And I wouldn't do it for the guest or for Drew either.
Here's something that Sadie can actually really, truly help us with. We've questioned him a lot. We've never really been able to really get this one right.
Especially the one for five comment. Not that bad.
There you go. Libby, 21.
Hey. Hi, Libby. Hi. Okay. I've been with my fiancé for like 3 years. And every time we like have sex, like, I really, really enjoy it, but when it gets to be, like, really intense, like, I kind of, like, push away or, like, I can't let him finish. Like, when it's getting intense for me, I kind of, like, back up or push him away.
Intense as in you're about to climax, or
Yeah, I think so, because I've never, ever had an orgasm.
But it's uncomfortable at that point?
No, because it doesn't hurt or anything. Like, I like it,
intense.
But I can't handle it.
Yeah, women get this. How's
that,
why?
That could be she's about to orgasm and she's holding off.
But there's no
on
such
it
thing as a male. That,
but why?
No, it doesn't happen.
Correct.
Never
heard
of
nature.
That.
Never happened.
You need to let it go and see what happens.
But how does a woman do that?
Away.
Why does that happen?
You know, and
what is
I
that?
Want to. I don't know. And he thinks it's all him. And I'm like, you know what? I know it's me. It's probably something in my head. I don't know. But
yeah.
I don't know how to make to stop myself.
So it's not painful at all. It's just a point.
No. It's not painful. I mean, you know, it's like a good feeling, but it's just too much, and I kind of like scoop back or
yeah
kind of say,
yeah,
stop.
She's
yeah,
afraid
yeah,
to
you
orgasm.
Yeah.
Only you can answer that, and I think you need to just not push him off one time and see what happens. If it's not painful, it's going to be something good.
But do you are you scared? Do you think you have a problem with orgasm in terms of being attached to the guy or something like that?
No.
No vulnerability, or you feel like you're going to urinate or lose control?
No, nothing like that.
So you've never orgasmed before, is that what you said?
No.
Have you ever tried masturbation?
Yeah, I don't like it.
What's up? Yeah, anyone ever molest you or anything?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, all right.
You could
come
have
on,
brought
goofball.
Start with that.
Bring that up, please.
Well,
that's
yeah
the problem.
Like, it wasn't... I don't know, but whatever
it was, that's probably just enough for you to slide out at the last second.
Right.
All right. So maybe you got to get some. You got to address that. A little therapy, a little counseling, something like that.
Well, I've talked to like my doctor about it a little bit, but I mean, I don't.
I'm talking about the abuse part, the part,
mm-hmm,
the molestation stuff.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that you got to get into.
That needs treatment.
All right, baby.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. That's it. No no treatment for that. No orgasm.
Okay.
All right. Sorry.
But that's not to say though that everyone that pushes away, like women that push away like that, necessarily have abuse histories, because we hear that a lot.
No, but listen. There's two reasons you'd push away. One is it's physically sort of overwhelming.
Too intense.
It just becomes too intense, like being tickled or something, I would
mm-hmm
imagine. And the other thing is that the bond and the feeling, the emotional feeling
too much
of having an orgasm with someone is too much. And if it's the emotional side, that probably means daddy did a little something
yeah
weird to you.
Yeah.
And if it's the physical side, I don't know, you got to rub some coke on the cooch and have a shot of Jack.
Toe in the cooch.
Toe in the cooch. And we'll be back. Hey, everybody. That's the show. I want to thank Sadie Allison for coming in here. Had a very enlightening and enjoyable time.
Thank you. I had a great time.
Tickle Your Fancy is the name of the book and
website
we're talking about, fellas. Get that. Shut up, Joe. Get that book. It's small. Keep it in your back pocket and use it like you use a cross against a vampire on the vagina. Ticklekitty.com. Ticklekitty.
K-I-T-T-Y.
Yep, T-I-C-K-L-E-K-I-T-T-Y.
All right, so ticklekitty.com is where you can find more information, pictures, and things like that. Thank you very much. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. Take that mood ring you got and put it out.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.